by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
I'm on the cage every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, that rule of eight, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into adversarial time
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
It's that time again, and you are listening to The Ooze. What's going on, TC? How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I think I've sobered up from the debauchery last night here in Austin, Texas, with all the Satanists hanging out at my place. So ready to do another show.
Right. So
what's that?
Oh, I was going to say we actually lost connection shortly after hanging up with you last night. How'd the rest of the party go?
Oh, it was ridiculous. It was. I'm gonna put some photos and stuff up. It was we all had a good time. We got pretty fucking wasted. It was women. You know, we had naked women running around. We had lots of booze. We had documentaries going on the television. You know, from the Church of Satan and stuff. We talked a little shit. We got kicked off a tiny chat, from what I understand. Just too much nudity, I guess, rolling around the house. And we had a good time. It was crazy. And even as things wound down, we ended up having some decent conversations and everything. And just a good time. So I'm looking forward to my birthday in July. You know, maybe doing it again. Maybe not so much here. Maybe doing it at, like, going to a strip club or, I don't know, someplace. Strip club, a kid's zoo, something like that. I don't know. But, yeah. So, how's your evening go? Once you got done with the hosting duties with Ooze, what'd you guys do?
Well, by that time, Nikki was already passed out, so I ran off to get a couple packs of smokes and came back and kind of held down the fort in the Sin chat room, shooting the shit with people and what. That is a pretty laid-back evening for me. I got the party vicarious, you know?
Right on. Well, let's lay down what we're going to be doing tonight for the show here. The call-in number is 347-989-1371, and I know we kind of set this up to be a show where we're going to be talking about our favorite, satanic movies, and whatever that might mean, any movie that kind of features the devil or, Satanism or whatever. But before we roll into that, yesterday was Walt Purgis Nacht. It was the Anton LaVey Church of Satan-initiated satanic holiday. And the folks here in Austin, Texas, we got together and we had ourselves a little shindig. And then the folks in San Diego with Zach Black, they got together and they had their own thing going. And so we'll talk a little bit more about what all craziness went down or whatever. What to look forward to, I guess, when I finally get all the pictures scrubbed so that the guilty aren't recognizable in these different pictures. But I think we also wanted to kind of address something that's come up recently. Our friend, Derek Dishaw, Avenger Asna Satanis, has a new video out. And when I got onto Sin today to check things out, the aftermath after the party sometime around noon today, I was surprised to see this video posted on Sin. But it's an 18-minute video where Derek basically lets Zach Black and the Satanic International Network know what his thoughts are about the little drama, a little bit of bullshit going back and forth between the Cult of Cthulhu and the Satanic International Network, and I thought we'd kind of give our thoughts on this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't just help but roll my eyes and kind of facepalm a dozen times as I listened to lie after lie after lie after lie come out of his mouth. So, I mean, I was just, like, surprised. I held Derek in much higher standards than that up until today. I did not think that he would just outwardly bold-faced lie. I just kind of thought, you know, okay, he's semi-delusional, whatever, he's playing into his own paradigm and, you know, all that good stuff, and try to kind of give him the benefit of the credit, even though, you know, he's philosophically wrought. I mean, it just blew me away. At first, for him to make the claim that Satanic International Network had any part of his hand in it to start is just absolutely out of whack. It's just crazy. I mean, to kind of suggest that he hooked me up with Jason King is ridiculous. He wasn't even talking to Jason King or anything because of the harsh book review that Jason King had done on his Libre. I don't know that people know this personal side of Derek very well, but I know it gets his feelings hurt very easily. We were friends for a very long time, and it's a shame what it's deteriorated to. He's taken my criticism of his behavior on the internet more personal than I intended it to be. But me getting in touch with Jason King was my idea. As a matter of fact, if you check my YouTube channel, you'll see a video labeled Indeed. It was my call out of Jason King, which inevitably led to roughly about a month and a half, 2 months after I had posted that video, him finally approving it as a response and then calling me. So from there, I'm pretty sure I met Zach through Jason King, since the two of them were chums long before I came along. So I had known Zach a very short time. I think we did one interview with him here on the Ooze, and prior to that, he had interviewed me on his personal Blog Talk Radio show. What's really kind of interesting about it is that Zach approached me just sheerly for the technical aspects of helping him put together the Sin Network. The very first version of it was a WordPress hack that I did that had some PHP mailing problems. I couldn't shut off the PHP mailer. So that right there is a bold-faced lie. And, I mean, the rest of it was just kind of just riddled throughout it. You know, you and I were both priests of Relay during the time that Zach was given the Holder of the Green Flame title?
Right.
Something?
Right.
It was bestowed upon him without him requesting. We chose these four people because we appreciated the work that they did at that point in time. So, you know, just to hear all these ridiculous lies come out of Derek's mouth, it just blows me away. I can't believe the crap that he's pushing out there. He really expects that people will believe it. It's sad. It really is. So that's what I've got to say on the whole thing. I'm sure you have your own thoughts.
Well, and there's a caller waiting to pick up on the line. So the 757 area code, if you want to hold on for just a few minutes, because I kind of want to riff on this too. And that was the thing in the video that really, I mean, everything else, I just kind of, you know, it's Derek talking about his issues with Sin and himself and everything else. So I just kind of, you know, I just kind of let all that go.
Uh-oh.
But the thing that really caught my attention was exactly what you're talking about, where he wants to take, he's not taking full credit for it, he's taking partial credit for it, that he helped stimulate or facilitate the formation of the Satanic International Network and the different parties, the main people that are involved with getting that thing going. My thinking is that I've known you for a while, and he did mention that in the video, that you and I have been talking back and forth for a long time. And I know that you've been engaged in just talking to different people, just networking with different people, trying to get, you know, different stations to kind of come together and work together on different projects or what have you. You know, just network together, basically. So I know that this has been your thing for a long, long time, even before we were in the Cult of Cthulhu, where we were Priests of Rylai. And what I think Derek isn't realizing is that Derek, you're meeting up and talking to Derek and having the exchange that we ended up having with Derek was a part of that ongoing process. So Derek doesn't realize that he came into that process, into your own networking efforts, about midway and just happened to be there and you happened to advance in his particular organization at the same time that you were networking with these other folks. I think that the Cult of Cthulhu, and I had somebody who was actually checking the numbers during our time in there. I'm not going to take credit. I'm not saying that we should be credited for this, but during our time in the Cult of Cthulhu, it seemed like there was a lot more growth in the Cult of Cthulhu than had been going on, necessarily prior to that. That there was a lot more activity going on when we were, when we were in, especially in the beginning, than prior to our fully being on board or whatever. And again, it may be, and see, I'm willing to do what Derek isn't willing to do. I'm willing to say, you know what, that may be just coincidental, okay? So not assuming that we had anything to do with that, but you can see how this whole numbers game can be played both ways. Zach, I know that Zach was talking to other people and everything else, but as far as Sin's concerned, Zach's almost done this unilaterally. And when he mentioned the League of Independent Satanists, there are other organizations, the United Order of Servers and things like that. They come and go. Having been a part of organizations like that in the past, there's something distinctly different about the Satanic International Network. There's something just more. It's got a vital energy to it. There's more of an interest in participating. There's more of an interest in keeping this thing going. So I disagree with his prediction that it's going to be gone in a couple of years. And the thing with Sin, even right now, and this has been going on for months now, there's always something going on in there. There's always activity going on in Sin that's just not going on anywhere else. The Cult of Cthulhu has, they have some things going on. They have some conversations going on and everything else, and they have some activity, but not to that level. And I know that, I don't know, Derek has decided for whatever reason that he needs to compete with Sin. This is going to be his nemesis, who he compares himself to. And, I would, if I were Zach or anybody else, I would consider that almost a compliment, because that's a pretty high standard for Derek Abt to try to get up to. Not just 1,100 or so registered members, but a few hundred actual active members every day. Every day being involved, every day, making a comment, every day being engaged. Derek has a whole, and the other thing I kind of find mind-blowing about Derek's issues with the Satanic International Network, it's two different types of organizations. The Cult of Cthulhu is a theological organization. It's a philosophical organization. Satanic International Network is a social organization. It's for networking. It's for getting together with like-minded people. There might be some theological discussions and philosophical discussions or what have you, but that's not the main thrust of what's going on in Satanic International, the Satanic International Network. The main thrust is people getting together, sharing their ideas, and, what happens. Everybody's, having a good time. So, and he said there was some other stuff he said that I could probably rip on a little bit, but let me go ahead and start bringing these calls on. All right, Matt?
All right, Matt.
Okay, so 757 area code. You were on the use. It's on your brain, man.
Hey, man. It's Allison. It's Corazon, Sin, whatever the hell you want to call me. I just thought I'd weigh in on the conversation because I've been pretty neutral through this whole conflict that you guys all have. And that's how I see it. I see it as particular individuals who are in conflict, not COC versus the Sin Network. Because I'm sitting back here going, wait a minute, are entire networks against entire networks here? It just doesn't make any sense to me, because I just see the conflict between individuals, and, and I've heard your side of things, and I've heard Venger's side of things, and, you guys got all personal stuff going on there. You might have valid gripes for having conflict with Venger personally. Venger might have valid gripes for having gripes with particular individuals within the Sin Network.
Okay, well, let me before you go any further, Allison, hold on a second. Before you go any further, I guess let me explain the whole, you know, Cult of Cthulhu versus Sin and kind of where that's coming from.
Okay.
Derek Dishaw states, you know, often, over and over again, that he is the Cult of Cthulhu. Okay, he encourages people not to make that distinction, that there is no separation between Derek Dishaw and the Cult of Cthulhu. That's one.
So is that a gripe that you personally have?
No, it's not a gripe. It's not a gripe. It's a statement of fact. It's not a complaint at all. If that's the case, if that's the way Derek sees it, that's the way Derek sees it. Which brings me to my next point. If you listen to the videos, we're talking about it in the context that Derek is pushing it. Derek is pushing it as Cult of Cthulhu versus Sin. When he complains about Zach, okay, he likens that to every member of the Satanic International Network. That if we're going to be like Zach, if we're going to follow Zach's example, whatever Zach's example is going to be. So it could be a personal issue between Derek Dishaw and Zach Black, okay? But Derek chooses, when he expresses himself on this, he had an 18-minute video, I'm sure you've had a chance to review it, when he chooses to express himself on this, he puts it in those terms, Cult of Cthulhu versus Sin, okay? Now, I agree with you. I'm not, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not really involved in this. It's not my thing. It's not my argument. It's not what I have to say. You know, I just want to talk about, you know, he posted this video out there. It takes 18 minutes to let everybody know how unhappy he is with Sin or whatever and how unhappy he is with Zach Black.
He specifically stated in not only the, and I did watch the video, stated in the video text as well as verbally that it was not.
Oh, I didn't read the text. I just watched the video.
Yeah, the text specifically says this is not a war between me or Cult of Cthulhu and the Sin Network. That video was a pot shot at Zach, and I don't know exactly why because I haven't spoken to Venger, but I, from my own perception of what I've seen over the past few days, I'm conjecting here. But I'm conjecting that Venger and Zach had a private conversation in a chat, because I saw him make reference to that. And then shortly after that private conversation and chat, Zach posted that Fancy Pants video, which made fun of Venger. So, I mean, it looks very much like a reactionary video. It's reactionary.
Did that video make fun of Venger or just make fun of the title of his system?
Come on, Jason. Of course it did. He used the Ipsissimus title. He's made so many references.
Should the Ipsissimus of the Cult of Cthulhu be above that shit?
Let me finish, though. But he's also made other references to Venger and other videos and shows. It's just been an ongoing thing that I've seen. It. Sometimes they're subtle. Sometimes they're just right there in your face. It's very obvious to the public who's watching it that there's a conflict between Venger and Zach for whatever reason.
I don't know that it's obvious. It's obvious to the people that know what's going on. I don't know if it's obvious to the public. I think most of the public could give a shit about what we're doing. So
he
I don't want to use
like
that kind
King,
of strong
King
language.
Tentacles. You know, but he uses things like King Tentacles and, you know, it's obvious to people that are at least within the Cult of Cthulhu and within the Sin Network that there is something going on between these two men.
I just want to make sure as we're talking about these things, because I know you kind of represent the Cult of Cthulhu side of things. I know that's
not necessarily
your position. You're a priest of Wiley and the Cult of Cthulhu. You've been observing this thing. You were there when everything was going down. And I do agree with you that it's more between Derek and Zach than it is between any two organizations. But I will say that Derek has definitely tried to pose this whole thing as Sin versus the Cult of Cthulhu, even though he states in this video that's not the case. When you go through and you read the posts in the Cult of Cthulhu, when you watch all of his videos where he talks about that, when he downs sinners,
I agree, but that is in reaction to the Sin Network also doing the same thing to the Cult of Cthulhu and its members.
That's fine and good. Is it the reaction the Ipsissimus of the Cult of Cthulhu should be having? If the Childish Sin Network, which is a social network,
who sets the standard?
I'm just asking you your opinion. I don't know who sets the standard. I'm not setting the standard. I'm asking you though, in your opinion, your Cult of Cthulhu leader, the Ipsissimus of your organization, when somebody takes little childish pot shots at him, should he respond the way he has?
Well,
do you
know,
need to come talk about how all sinners, the low lives of Satanism and sin,
it's
the ghetto, the satanic ghetto. Sin is the satanic ghetto, according to Derek Ishaw.
I get it, Jason. Believe me. Get it. You're preaching to the choir, brother. You're preaching
okay,
to the choir.
Okay, so
I have
so
heard it all. I have read it all. No, I'm just
so
saying.
So you agree, then, the assistance of the cult of Cthulhu should not be, he should hold himself to a higher standard.
That's
up to him.
I'm not going to set the standard for his behavior because he is an individual man.
I'm not trying to either. I would hope, though, and this is the thing about his video. This is the thing I took away from his video that I hope he follows through with. Okay? Like I said, when we started talking about the video, I was surprised to see it on Sin. Because if everything that Zach has to say about Derek is true, as far as he's concerned, I don't know why the constant mention of Derek Dishon Cult of Cthulhu continues. Let it fucking go. Walk away from it. If it's below your interest, it's below your interest. Other than they think it's funny. They think it's entertaining.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think Zach is perpetuating the Sin versus Cult of Cthulhu mess, which is why now Venger is feeling like he has to defend it. You know, and this is all, this is all me as an observer.
Yeah, he's not,
I'm
when
not,
he makes his comments in the Cult of Cthulhu, when Derek makes his comments in the Cult of Cthulhu, he isn't defending shit. He's talking to his own people. That's not defensive.
Well,
that's
not necessarily true because there's quite a few members from the Sin Network over there, and a lot of those messages are directed to those people.
No, I don't see that
there's
way.
There's quite a few folks over there, and they talk very freely about being either neutral in the conflict and being part of both organizations or whatever you want to call it, social
network. There is no conflict. But as you pointed out, there is no conflict between the organizations. It's just certain individuals.
I agree with that. But then you have pointed out that the language in the Cult of Cthulhu has been Sin versus the Cult of Cthulhu.
I know that not everybody feels that way, but those are the individuals
that are perpetuating this idea. Even though it's not true, there are certain
individuals, including Zach himself, who are perpetuating that idea.
The individuals that are on the social network, on the whack wall there.
Okay, and people that are going into the Cult of Cthulhu and saying that Sin is a Satanist ghetto.
I'm not over at the Sin Network, so I can't tell you.
No, man, I'm talking about the Cult of Cthulhu. I'm talking about in the Cult of Cthulhu, if an individual sits there and says Sin is a satanic ghetto, what's he perpetuating? And what individual might
I
be referring
to? I think you're misunderstanding. I'm saying there are individuals that are part of both networks, and they believe it to be a conflict between both. So they're not really perceiving it as a conflict between individuals. They're perceiving it as a As a matter of fact, this evening, an individual of your cult, or I'm sorry, your social network, and I see her in the chat room.
Just to be clear, when you say your, it's not mine. TC is yours.
Yeah, you're right. A social network. She came over to the Cult of Cthulhu and posted her own video with the whole shame on you, Venger. So she's obviously a part of the Sin Network. Now, she's also signed up for the Cult of Cthulhu social network, which is just the social network. Just because people are there doesn't mean they're cult members. They're just part of the social network. But she believes there's an imagined war. She even put it on her page. She thinks there's a war.
Let me make a statement real quick because, again, I don't want to monopolize the whole hour talking about the Cult of Cthulhu and whatever's going on in this video. The point that I was going into when I mentioned that I was surprised seeing this video, and the thing that I took away from Derek's video that I thought I'm hoping he follows through with, the petty little bullshit I think is below Derek, I think is below Zach. Okay, now if they choose to engage in it, they choose to engage in it. But Derek has stepped up and said, this is going to be his last bit. This is going to be the last time that he's going to talk about the Satanic International Network. So I'm hoping that as I'm on the Cult of Cthulhu checking out things, that he's not talking about Sin being the Satanist ghetto anymore. I'm hoping that he just walks away from it, that he chooses not to even mention the Satanic International Network or Zach or whatever, you know, whatever videos they post at his expense. Because, I mean, so speaking from my perspective, if it were me, I would choose, especially to be in the position that Derek is in, to be above all that shit.
Oh, I agree. I agree. The way I took the video was this is the only time in the last time he's going to address it directly. He's going to address all the poking fun of him in his underwear and all the name calling and all this, that, and fancy pants and all that. And he just said his final say, and then that's going to be the end of it, and he's just going to move on,
right,
business as usual.
Right. So hopefully no more about the Satanist ghetto, no more about Zach being a drunk, no more, because you're real good at pointing out all the pot shots that Zach's taken at Derek, but you keep failing to mention the pot shots that Derek takes at Zach.
I didn't fail to mention them. I said that he makes pot shots too.
No, you very
you
carefully delineated the exact shots that Derek, you took. You carefully delineated the exact shots that Zach took at Derek. But you've been remiss in pointing out that Derek is taking shots at Zach.
Well, I'm just saying that was just an explanation for the reactionary videos, Jason. The reactionary.
Everybody, but I say both parties are reacting to one another. For whatever reason, there's this little bit of volatility. I hope they both rise above it. But I just want
to
make sure that when you're talking about this issue, I want to make sure that you're not disingenuous in your language, that you do not ignore that both parties have a hand in it, both parties are responsible for it, and no one bears the brunt of whatever's going on.
They're definitely both engaging in it. I can't honestly tell you what the catalyst for the whole thing was or where it's at right now. I just know that both are engaging in it. For whatever reason, they're feeling like they need to engage in it.
It's a 50-50 responsibility, and Derek, I think, has taken the real mature step at this point. After posting this 18-minute video, the mature ending is, I've said my piece, I'm done with it. We'll just see if he follows through.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. So you believe that Venture should be held to a higher standard and...
I don't believe shit. I don't believe shit. Don't put words in my mouth.
I'm trying to understand your final statement here.
What was my final statement? That Derek said he was going to not deal with it anymore. That's my final statement, what Derek said.
But you don't believe that Zach should be doing the same thing?
I can't. Can you tell me what? Can you say for sure, or can you say definitively what Derek should do?
No,
I can't speak for Zach. But what I can do. Hang on a second. 619 area code. Is this who I think it is?
You know it. How you doing, guys?
Hey, what's going on, Zach? So we got the man here who can speak for himself. Now, I don't want you sitting there saying that Jason says Zach should do this or Jason said Derek should do that. Derek said in his video he was no longer going to deal with it. He was just going to ignore it pretty much.
Because Zach didn't say that, Zach will continue, but Venger should not because he stated that in the video.
Did I say Derek should not? Or did I say Derek said he would?
You said he hoped he wouldn't.
What did Derek say he would do? What were Derek's words? I won't deal with it anymore. I hope he follows through with what he says.
Okay.
I hope he follows through with what he says. That's it. What Derek does, he does. When the man says he's going to do something, I hope he follows through.
Okay, so what then if he doesn't follow through? So this thing's just going to go on and we're going to keep talking
about it. Is that between you and I or Derek and Zach?
I would say it's between them, yeah.
Okay, well then, my opinion's moot, isn't it?
Pretty much. That's what I mean. If your opinion's moot, why even voice it? I mean, I guess that's my point. Why even voice it if it's moot?
Our names were brought up in the video. We were discussed. We have an opinion. We are entitled to an opinion. It's a moot opinion because ultimately it's between Zach and Derek. And all I'm saying is that we wanted to talk about the whole bit about Derek taking Derek taking credit for the Satanic International Network happening. We just wanted to point out that may not be entirely accurate.
Well, where you guys
networking together and sharing
ideas and getting things together.
Because Derek had nothing to do with it. It was me and Zach talking privately on private phone. Derek had no idea it was even happening until I told him like a month after I had already gotten the first web I had done and we rebuilt another one. So, no, he didn't even...
I don't know anything about this thing at all. I honestly can tell you that. I don't know anything about how that whole thing started.
Well,
we took the time to sit there and say, hey, that wasn't correct. And now at the last bit of Derek's video where he says, And he's pretty much done discussing Satanica International and Zach, but he said his piece and that's it. I'm saying kudos for that, and hopefully he follows through.
Okay.
But that's the standard he set for himself.
I'd like to hear what TC has to say, if I could.
What I was going to say was, I am not a person that by any means is going to try to push any kind of bullshit. I'm telling you exactly how it was. Everybody who knows me knows that I tell it like it is. I don't have any hindrance about being honest about it. It doesn't matter to me.
So, I agree, and that's why I said, let me hear it.
I'm telling you right now, he had nothing to do with the whole process, nothing. As a matter of fact, I got some resistance from him and even putting Zach on the oops.
So maybe some embellishments were made to get the last goat.
No, they were blatant lies.
Yes, they were blatant lies. They weren't embellishments whatsoever. I mean, a lot of the shit he said was just, you know, and Beast touched upon it earlier. I mean, granted, this is mainly personal between me and Derek, and I know exactly how it started. I know what happened. I know the PMs I sent him. And when he made this video, I had just sent him a PM a day before saying, hey, let's bury the hatchet, dude. This is stupid. Let's just fucking move on, you know? Good luck on your shit, you know, whatever. And he came back to me through a PM and said, you need to make a fucking video praising the Cult of Cthulhu. You need to apologize to the Cult of Cthulhu, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, and I said, Derek, go fuck yourself, you know? And that's when he came out with this butthurt video. But I had already removed my one video where I dropped his name, like, you know, a few seconds here and there in it. You know, I mean, so, yeah, did I take pot shots of him in that video? Yes. But it was a video.
Was that Fancy Pants video after you guys chatted in the chat room? Or was that before?
The Satanist ghetto to his herd in the Cult of Cthulhu. Like I said, we can trade back and forth the different pot shots and try to keep score.
I know. I'm so beyond that, Jason. I was just asking Zach if he made that video after they had talked privately. Just out of curiosity.
Honestly, Allison, it was the same night, and I think I made it before and then talked to him, but honestly, I can't say exactly either way because I don't always follow up on, you know, exactly what Derek posts and whatever was said and when and where, but no, it was around the same time, and I may have made it afterwards, and that may have been a pot shot of me taking it, Daryl, after we allegedly buried the hatchet. So, that may have been my fault.
It seemed like if you buried the hatchet and then you made that video, it was like you made a mockery of whatever olive branch you extended.
There wasn't really an olive branch.
What Zach just said was he extends the olive branch and gets his hand slapped. He gets told he has to make a video saying,
I'm saying that in response to if he chatted with him and then made the video, then anything they discussed in that chat would have been destroyed by him making that video if he made it after the fact. So then
okay,
Zach then going saying after that, saying, well, let's just bury the hatchet. I mean, if you beat the dog every time it comes to you, why is it going
to
keep coming to you?
Zach, did you say that you offered to, you know, bury the hatchet and he came back to you with an ultimatum that was just ridiculous? That would mean degrading yourself publicly.
But Jason, if it was after that video making fun of him, why would he tell you?
No, it was before. Was it before the video that he came back to you and said you need to make that public video degrading yourself, or did you make the video after that request?
He just said he didn't remember.
I made the Fancy Pants video before I sent him a PM saying, hey, man, let's just bury the hatchet. You know, fuck this. This is all
stupid
shit.
Well, then you're fucking up. Then, Zach, you're fucking up. Corson's right. You're fucking up.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Which video are we talking about?
I don't think everybody has all the information to really make an informed opinion about the conflict. If it's between Zach and Derek, then it should be between Zach and Derek. I can understand that, you know, some false information was stated on the video about the Sin Network.
Okay,
you can
understand that if there was incorrect information about other people that were back on that video, then the two of the people that are in that video should have the opportunity to speak about that, right?
Right, but, given the circumstances, you know, where there's all this conflict between everyone and videos are being used as psychological warfare against each other. So naturally, saying something false is going to incite a reaction.
Starting this conversation with, we watched this video, we want to talk about this one bit, and I'm surprised the video ends up on Sin because it shouldn't be there. We should be past that shit. And I'm glad that Derek said he's past all that shit at the end of his video. What does that mean?
Well, it means that Derek's a fucking liar because he's proven himself a liar in this video throughout and throughout, and I've lost all respect. I had little respect for Venger, but now I have no respect for Derek. Half the shit he says is just outright lies. And
oh, but come on,
Zach,
you have responsibility in that.
You
want to
hear him?
You really did.
Oh, for making him make up lies?
No. I'm just saying that's just part of the dig. I mean, really. That's just
part of the dig. Are you serious? You're saying not only is it okay for him to do it, he actually has a responsibility to do it. It's part of the mandate for his position that he goes out there and pulls his bullshit.
No, is that what you're saying? No, that's not what I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying?
Is it part of the gig? I'm saying it's part of the dig because it was reactionary to something that Zach had already done. He had already published the video.
It's just the way you roll. It's automatic. It's just the way you roll. It's habitual. It's mechanical.
Well, what I said was not a lie either.
No, what I said was not a lie.
It was my opinion and joking at not just the assistants, but people with self-ordained grand poobah titles. The assistant is definitely one of them.
We got that, but you included the...
And I dropped his name for what? All of 3 seconds? And he made an 18-minute long butthurt video.
You still felt
compelled
to drop it, though, you know?
I'm going to make an 18-minute video, and then I'm going to say at the very end, oh, by the way, I'm above this. I'm going to drop it. Come on.
How often does Derek and the safety of his own organization talk about the same as Jeno?
Our mature, intelligent adults always grasp.
How often does Derek go ahead and talk about how modern Satanism is the trash of the occult?
Right. Right.
Well, you know, there's some trash in there.
All Satanists are blowheads.
There's some trash in the occult. We talk about trash all the time. You have all kinds of opinions about, you know, Satanists that you consider to be trash.
Right, I do.
You have your own opinions about what you think is trash and what you think
is a
joke.
I'm not speaking to my cult. I'm not trying to motivate my herd to do anything.
Hold on just a minute there, brother. I don't think anyone there is part of a herd.
I do.
It's just a social network.
There are a lot of people in there that do see themselves as followers of Derek Fishaw.
I see a lot of followers just mocking things that you guys say too, and they're part of your network. So I mean,
not part of my network. I have no followers. I ask for no people to do any fucking thing. I try not to tell anybody to do anything anymore.
If I set an example
and you want to follow that, cool. If not, fine.
Guys, there are Allison, you made a comment saying that it's something not between the members of the SIN network and members of the Cult of Cthulhu. There are no members of SIN. They're users of SIN. They use this network. There are members of the Cult of Cthulhu under the umbrella of the Assistants, okay? And that's just my...
Yeah, but I think it's all on how you're looking at it, too. I mean, unless you're actively involved. I mean, I don't really see it that way. I really don't see people just following him like he's some man. I certainly wouldn't be involved. I mean, we talked about this, guys. I certainly wouldn't be involved, you know, if he was waving his little finger around, you know, commanding me to do shit. No, it's not like that at all. It's all very organic, and we just bounce ideas off of each other. He's not issuing any commands or telling anybody to do anything.
Not to you, of course not. Not to Allison Jones, he's not.
I went back to the pro boards, you know, because I hadn't been on there in a couple of years, and went and looked at all the old discussions just to see what the hell's been going on since I've been gone, and I don't see it there either. I mean, there's a couple, like I said, in any group, you're going to get a bunch of usually young kids that are like, I'm so lost, tell me what to do.
And here's a nice thing, Allison. I mean, you were outside of it. You weren't part of that. You're kind of just reading and trying to catch up on everything. But here you are sharing your opinion about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We were actually engaged in it. I mean, we appreciate your outside observations, but, I mean, clearly there's an agenda here.
Well, I mean, I've been kind of dragged into it because now I'm, what, the female Venger and Queen of Tentacles.
Allison Jones can be dragged into something? Are you serious? Allison Jones can be dragged into something?
True.
You called us.
I know, but I just feel compelled to have a voice. My God, this thing is so fucking ridiculous. It's like high school. I mean, can the bell ring?
Here you are engaged in it.
Yeah,
here you are engaged in it. It's like high school. It's immature drama, and here you are engaged in it. Here you are helping to perpetuate it.
No,
it's like you're your own worst enemy here.
You know I listen to this fucking show. Come on. If this is going to be the top. Look, I already pulled up my videos. I was all ready to talk about fucking movies. I was so ready. Here we are.
Hang on a second. Everybody, real quick, before we go any further, Reverend Ronald French, I see you're in the chat room. Thanks for coming out, brother. Okay, we can go on with whatever we're doing.
I like Ronald, too. I think Ronald's cool as shit.
You know, Allison, I'm not... You've heard my version of things, and I know exactly what started this. What started this is the blog that Venger dropped on Sin saying, you all need to respect me and give me the praise I deserve or I'm leaving. Now, I'm paraphrasing.
I heard your version. We've talked about this.
Okay.
Okay. Well, don't make us change, you guys.
616 area code, you're on the ooze. What's on your brain, man?
Bueller?
616, he dropped off. You know what? We fucking scared him away.
Can't take the heat, get your ass up the kitchen.
Okay, it's movie time, guys, and if we need to, we'll kick this into overtime, but let's do some movies, all right?
Do you want to do movies? We got 18 minutes. We got 18 minutes left.
I wanted to bring the Lord of Darkness from the Legend movie. That's my ideal, like, Lord of Darkness. I also wanted to fuck him. I was ready to talk movies, seriously. Tim Curry is Lord of Darkness.
That's cool. Along those lines, one of my favorite satanic sex scenes is in the movie Altered States.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's a trippy fucking movie about this dude experimenting with sensory deprivation tanks and acid. And at some point, he's imagining himself as some sort of three-eyed, goat-headed dude fucking some chick. Totally badass.
No, I like Tim Curry as the Lord of Darkness just for the look, because if you ever saw the movie, he's kind of a pussy in that. You know, where he's crying over the girl, and he's, you know, he's going to his father, you know, father, and he's going, woo her. So, you know, I wouldn't consider that to be a satanic movie, but, you know, ideal satanic icon would definitely be Tim Curry.
Well, I think we've all given up trying to define what Satanism is or isn't or anything.
Yeah, totally,
so whatever
totally.
You think, man. If you were to say that Cinderella was, you know, your favorite satanic movie, I'd go right on. You know, I'd have no room to argue.
Right on.
I'm gonna have to see that Altered States, just by that description.
You guys are familiar with The Devil's Reign, right? Devil's Reign from the mid-70s with William Shatner stars. Tom Skerritt, you know, Anton LaVey was in it. He had a hand as a technical advisor. Had a lot of real cool, you know, quasi-ritual scenes that were somewhat legitimate from the Church of Satan at the time. I like that movie a lot. In fact, speaking of acid, man, I used to take acid as a teenager and just watch that movie over and over and over. It just tripped me. Blew my mind.
Right on.
Acid scared the shit out of me. I didn't like acid.
What?
We got a little bit of audio from some movies.
Yeah, there's a satanic movie playing in the background as we're talking. Now, one of the things that I love about Netflix, man, is now I can let Netflix tell me what movies are satanic. I just click on the satanic movies button, and it shows me. So what I'm actually doing right now is going to get logged into my Netflix account so I can take a look at what movies I've seen recently that are satanic. Because I watch movies, like, constantly. They're
There was this thing in like 2008, 2009 where one of the movie houses got together with the top directors for horror films, and they were putting together one-hour horror movies, and then you'd rent that DVD and you get two movies on one disc or whatever. One of those movies was called Cigarette Burns. and it's about this film that's being passed around that shows the destruction of an angelic being. Whoever watches the film goes nuts. And I thought that was a cool, film from a Satanist kind of perspective.
What do you guys think about Rosemary's Baby? I mean, that was an ultimate classic. Like, I'm starting from, like, the old movies and I'm working my way up, but Rosemary's Baby, the whole movie revolves around the devil impregnating this woman, right? There's this big satanic conspiracy, and she thinks they're out to kill and eat her baby, but they just brought forth the Antichrist, and, it was made in 1965 or whatever, or 66, and her own Polanski, and then at the end it was like, it's year one, the age of fire, hail Satan, blah, 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 and I thought that was pretty fucking cool myself.
I thought that was a cool movie, especially the social commentary is that, here are these people that they worship the devil, but they give a shit about this life. It's their religion, it's their way of thinking and everything else, and it benefits them. So it put the spin on Satanism that, there might be these communities out there where Satanism is to their benefit, it's what they do.
Right. Yeah, it kind of dispelled some of the, it showed this woman as being ultimately ultra paranoid, which, don't get me wrong, you might be, anybody might be in that situation, but, at the end, the Satanist just, made it look like, her baby died, and then they were going to raise it as their own, not because they wanted to kill her or sacrifice her, but because it was the chosen one, and, it was the Antichrist, and, it came out in 1966, and there was, little bits and excerpts from, I think it was the Invocation to Satan that they used, at the ending scene when she walked in. I thought that was pretty cool.
You know what I want to know? Why does the woman always have to be tricked or raped? Why doesn't anybody ever ask if she wants to be the mother of the Antichrist? I mean, someone might go
for that.
In the
X-Files, Bruce Campbell played a demon in the X-Files, or a half-demon in the X-Files, who was going around impregnating women trying to have a human baby. And a female demon, a woman, tricked him, seduced him, so that she could give birth to a demon. So there's your role reversal right there.
But I'm just saying, do you ever see movies where the woman is asked, hey, do you want to have the Antichrist? Hey, the devil's kind of high. Come out.
Well, the biggest bullshit story in history, Mary was asked, hey, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. And she said, no, I don't think so at first. and they said, no, you're going to do that shit. And that's how it went down.
Allison, I've never seen a movie like that, but in my real life, I ask women that all the time. Hey, you want to bear the Antichrist? And they usually get slapped in the face, but at the same time. I'm still waiting because one out of 100 is going to say yes.
Hey, it might work, right?
It could. I'm betting on it.
You're not meeting the right women, Zach. You got to get out of that area.
You know what? The other thing, Zach, is the chick that says, yes, I want to bear the Antichrist is probably the same chick that thinks she has to kill her mate.
Yeah. What about Star Wars, guys? Anybody see the satanic elements in Star Wars with the Force and...
The what? Oh, yeah, Star Wars, right.
I mean, I think there are some very satanic themes going on in Star Wars. Not necessarily accurate.
I would say it's more appropriate to say there's very Christian themes in there.
Themes or beings?
Themes, like good versus evil. The dark side is all dark and spooky, and the light side is all...
Here's the thing about Star Wars, though. You can spin it any way you want, because the Empire, the forces of evil, they're also the forces of order. They went out and made sure that everything was ordered in the universe, basically, that everything was safe, that there was law and justice. It was the rebel forces that represented the force of chaos. So from from that perspective, it was Luke Skywalker and Ben Kenobi that were the Satanists.
That's true. Right. Yeah, you can spin it that way.
You can spin it that way. And just the way they describe the force is similar to a lot of satanic musicians describing the forces of darkness or the unknown forces, that permeate the world and are influence man's evolution and the current and yada yada. But it's hard to say if it's science fiction or if it was just one guy, one writer out of, 300 for that movie that, diddled that in when nobody was looking.
But I also thought it was an interesting spin on it where they, in order for them to even have, the Force, they had to be, inhabited by the midichlorians. It wasn't even something that man could do by himself. He had to be possessed by some kind of divine being or spooky whatever. exactly. That's why I said it had a very Christian theme to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't put too much stock into all that shit.
Yeah. You know, what about The Devil's Advocate, Al Pacino's movie, The Devil's Advocate? Like, that in itself was kind of, you know, hokey-pokey Hollywood shit, but he had that one great speech where he was talking about God,
right,
just fucking hit the nail on the head, and that may have been the only one in the movie, but that is, like, you know, monumental. That was epic.
Oh, when he was going on
have
that diet, Trevor, he's like, taste, but don't touch. Touch, but don't enjoy it.
Exactly.
Have you guys
exactly,
seen Angel
awesome.
Heart? Because we're bringing up Pacino, who's roommate De Niro. Have you seen Angel Heart?
Yeah.
De Niro playing Lucifer?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that movie.
And, you know, he was only in it for a little, you know, De Niro, his role in it was only for a little bit. But it was a heavy Satanist movie. The Satanist grotto in New York having this connection to the voodoo people in Louisiana. And just this fucking mess. It was a real Faustian story. And just, you know, De Niro playing Lou Cipher, hiring this guy, you know, all tongue-in-cheek and shit. It was a really good flick.
Right on. This is funny. I just actually got done sorting satanic stories out on Netflix, so if you guys wanted to, I could give you the top 10 satanic movies by rating according to Netflix, or at least what they have available right now. All right,
yeah, you can do that.
All right, let me get to the beginning here then. 2, 4, 6. Eight.
Well, hang on a second. I'm going to take a call real quick, okay?
All right.
See if I can get it to work. There we go. 618 area code. You're on the use. What's on your brain, man?
Hey, this is Jerry Fry. You might know me as Diesel Hippie 420. I was wondering if any of y'all ever seen a movie called Satan's Little Helper.
Yeah. I think I've seen it. It's the serial killer's wearing that fucked up mask and he's trick or treating with that kid.
Yeah, that's the one. And that kid thinks he's like a hero and stuff.
Right, because of the video game he's been playing, Satan's Little Helper, the video game, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it here on my shelf, yeah.
About. Yeah. I remember I've seen that movie a couple of times, and it made me feel sorry for that family and that kid and everything. Because the kid thought was so gullible, you know, and so I was just, you know, wondering.
I thought it was a decent film. I mean, it didn't have a lot. The production quality was kind of low. But it was decent. A decent concept. The serial killer, they think, you know, is part one of the family or whatever, and he's just doing his thing, kind of funny sometimes. So yeah, pretty good flick.
Yeah, there's a few that might be better, but yeah, that one's a good one though, I thought.
Right on.
So,
is that all you had?
Yeah.
All right, man. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in. Yeah, Satan's Little Helper. It's a good flick, so check it out if you get a chance to see it.
Okay.
Later.
All right. I took the liberty to bump the show up another half hour, if that's okay with you, Jason.
That's fine. So what are the top 10, man? What are the top 10 according to Netflix?
Okay, the first one, well, number 10, The Unnameable. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It was made in 1988.
It's got what's that chick's name? It's a really tall model chick who's been she's married to the guy who owns the Heavy Metal magazine. I've got the sequel to it over here. Unnameable was number one or number 10?
This is number 10. Yeah, this is the lowest ranking of them with a 2.7. What's interesting is this is based on a short story by H.P. Lovecraft. I thought that was kind of funny. So, but yeah, that's number 10. It was only a 2.7. I wouldn't bother watching it if you got Netflix. Number 9 was The Exorcist 2, The Heretic. That one, yeah, I mean, I I loved that one. I thought that one was better than the original Exorcist myself, and I was a big fan of that, so.
Yeah, I liked that one myself, too.
Right on. So that's number nine. Number eight, The Devil Within Her. 1975 horror movie. It's got Peter Sassidy and Joan Collins in it. I haven't actually seen this movie. We kind of got this rule here that we don't watch anything pre-1980. So, you know, we miss all that stuff, mainly because I saw all this crap as a kid and can't remember it anyway. But that was number eight. Number seven would be From a Whisper to a Scream. This was a 1987 film. It had Vincent Price in it. I think that was one notable thing about it. I'm trying to remember this movie. I think we just saw it recently, too. I remember right, it wasn't all that good. I was kind of bored at the end of it. So, but, I mean, of course, you know, I watch horror and gore constantly, so it's kind of, you know, if it does have an element of repulsiveness to it, I'm not too interested. On a side note, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Human Centipede, but that movie's really sick. Now, what's even sicker than that is that South Park, actually, this past week, did their own version of it.
I've been looking for that film. I've been reading the reviews, and I've been looking for that film because I want to see it.
It's on Netflix.
I'm opposed to Netflix on a philosophical plane. So, I go on. I just buy the damn film. But yeah, I'll have to probably get around to renting it online or something.
Right on. 1976, Land of the Minotaur. That's or Minotaur, however you say it. That's what, number six? Yeah, number six. I haven't seen it myself. It looks too cheesy just watching the previews even try. I mean, I can't even get through the whole preview, man, so that's pretty bad. Number five, To the Devil, a Daughter. Now, if I remember right, this was actually a pretty darn cool movie. But it's a 1976 film starring Christopher Lee and Richard Widmark. Number four, Servants of Twilight. This is based on a Dean Koontz novel. I don't know if you've ever read the novel, but I did. It was pretty good. It was a good story. If I remember right, the movie wasn't too bad either, other than the fact that there was some cheesy special effects. But, you know, if you like horror movies, cheesy special effects are sometimes a good thing, you know?
Right on.
All right, number three, I have not seen it yet, but this movie came out in 2009. It's Zombie Women of Satan. A woman's sister is kidnapped by a bizarre cult. And this woman, she's a rock singer. She, you know, of course, has to go out and try to find her sister, only she comes upon this freaky burlesque troupe of Flesh-O-Rama zombies, man. So that should be interesting. I'll probably check that out tonight or tomorrow.
Right on.
Number two, Dominion, the prequel to The Exorcist. Now, that's one of my favorites. But what's really interesting to me is Dominion is exactly the same as the movie The Exorcist, The Beginning, with just slight plot variations. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but it's like watching the exact same film.
Right, it is the exact same film. When they were going to shoot Dominion, or when they were going to shoot Exorcist, the beginning, at some point, the production company, I don't know if it was Warner Brothers, whoever, there were some budgeting issues, and there were some questions about the direction of the plot, the way they were kind of wrapping it up. So they took the film away from the people that were making it mid-production and basically rolled out the beginning, the Exorcist beginning film. But
the director and the writer and one of the other, you know, minor producers or whatever, after that went down, they got back together and they went and finished the production, the film that they wanted to put out, and that's Dominion. So if you want the film as the director expected it to, you know, to be, Dominion's the film to watch.
Right on. Now, I thought it was the better of the two for sure, so it makes sense why. I own both of them and was sadly disappointed to find out that they were about the same thing. I do think the theology presented in Dominion is a little more consistent with Catholic theology, as I understand it. But either way, they were both kind of, you know, farce, kind of stabs in the dark, too. So, number one, The Omen, of course. So,
I thought the second Omen was the best of the three.
Oh, I agree with that too. Absolutely, that's the one where Damien's like, what do I want to say? Upper grade school, maybe lower middle school throughout it, right?
Right. He's in military school. Christopher Walken is his is the guy watching him, basically. He's the commandant of this military school, and Damien realizes that he's the Antichrist, struggles with it, but eventually embraces it.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was an awesome movie. You know, the first Omen seemed to be like they were trying to play too much on the suspense of the film. I thought there was a lot more horror involved in the second one, and it was a lot more sophisticated of a plot. I liked Omen 3 better than Omen 1 as well. I think that they got almost as good as they did in the second one with the third one, but the story was kind of being played out at that point anyway.
Right, so. I think they with Omen 3, it almost seemed like they had a bigger story than a 2-hour, you know, film would allow for. That should have been developed a little further.
Right on. Right. So that's what Netflix says is the top 10 satanic stories on Netflix right now.
Right on.
Oh, I thought that was kind of cool.
Somebody mentioned the chat room porn. And my favorite satanic porn was an old 70s film, The Devil in Mrs. Jones. Some chick is, she's kind of frigid sexually and everything else, and she's out to prove something to somebody. She goes into a bar, she hooks up to some dude. They're having sex. And at some point, he gets this weird gleam in his eye, thrusts too hard, knocks her head into the headboard or something. And when she's next, her next conscious moment, she's in hell. And she's basically walking through the different circles of hell like Dante.
Right now.
So, all these different sex acts and everything else. So, yeah.
That reminds me of a semi-porn, too, that's hilarious. It's called Black Devil Doll. It's low budget, I'm not going to lie to you, but you have to watch it because it's friggin' hysterical. You know those Charlie McCarthy dolls, you know, the puppet dolls? Well, it's a black doll that's possessed that this woman picks up, and it's the same scenario where the woman's extremely frigid. I think she's a virgin, and she's like in her 40s. And she picks up this doll, brings it home, it comes to life, it straps her to the bed, it fucks the shit out of her. She's all freaked out about it, but then she realizes that she really likes it. And the woman who sold her the doll told her that once the doll completed its magic, it always finds its way back there. So she goes back to this place looking for this damn doll because she had the best sex she ever had, and it basically turned her into a freak, where she's going to bars and picking up men and trying to recapture that epic sex she had with this damn doll. But the sex scenes are hilarious.
What's this film called?
It's called Black Devil Doll.
Oh, so yeah, that'd be something to add to my list then. Black Devil Doll.
It's really low budget, but it's fucking hilarious. I mean, it's essentially like it's a doll, right? Whatever, they used it as a prop for the film. And this long, like, grotesque tongue comes out. It's freaking hilarious.
There was a film, I forget what this film was called, but it was about this little, little homunculus or whatever, some sort of little monster or whatever, that was it was kept in a cage. It was this puppet, basically, in this film. And that was its thing. It was just horny as fuck. And wanted to get out and wanted to fuck something. So this thing was always, it was trying to get out of his cage and always trying to fuck these different women that are around. And it was an R-rated film, so it wasn't quite a porn. Speaking, and with puppets fucking things, have you guys seen Feast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was about to mention, actually.
The throat fuck scene in that film. It's fucked up.
Well, it kind of sets you up for it in the beginning with the moose's head on the wall. You know, I thought that was pretty funny. Did you see that part where the little thing flies through the window and it's humping up on the moose's head? Yeah, I thought that was great. But the throat fuck scene was definitely ridiculous in that movie. So.
Right.
What about the one-legged lady in that film? What the hell? She was the punk rocker chick who got her foot cut off by the first little demon in there. Wasn't she also the one who had the throat fucking thing done?
Right. Yeah, she was the biker chick. That she was there to rob the place. And you know what? Another great part of that film is fucking Henry Rollins in pink sweatpants.
Right.
As a motivational speaker.
There's nothing more satanic than Henry Rollins in pink sweatpants. I hate to tell you folks that.
Trying to think positive.
Right on. The funny part was, the whole movie was great. I just can't even, I don't want to spoil it for the people that haven't seen it, but if you have not seen the movie, you need to, because up until that point, I think horror had really hit a kind of a stalemate, man. It was a rehash of the same old coming out every year. You know? And
well,
I think.
Well, that's the other thing. Or go ahead, dude.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that Feast really, it was very creative. It was innovative. The plot was definitely twisted enough that, you know, at the end, when it came with the traditional ending, you were like, yeah, that fits. So.
Yeah, and it twists things. You don't. It's not what you expected it to be, especially from the beginning. It kind of leads you along one way, you know, and almost immediately go the opposite direction. The other thing with Beast is that with horror movies lately, it's just pussified. You know, is the best fucking word I can think of. They're all going for that PG-13 rating. They don't want the R rating. And they definitely don't want NC-17. And Beast basically said fuck it and went. You know, balls out basically with the gore and the horror and everything. Totally worth seeing if you're a gore junkie, really into horror films.
Agreed. Now, do horror films automatically qualify as being satanic films?
Well, you know, like I said, man, I'm not going to try to qualify Satanism anymore. I fucking learned my lesson. You know, if you if you tell me that it's Cinderella satanic, I'm going to go, okay, man, right on. I wouldn't say that automatically a horror film is satanic. I mean, you look at like films like Alien or, Predator was supposed to be a horror movie. Those definitely do not have a blatant Satanism in them, but somebody's going to call me out and tell me I'm wrong, so fuck it.
Right on.
A lot of parents consider the Disney films to have satanic themes. I know that's always been the complaint of parents, that they don't let their children watch Disney films because they have a lot of satanic themes. Whatever they define to be satanic, I don't know. I'm guessing it's the characters or the storyline.
Talking animals.
Yeah, who knows, yeah, but they consider all Disney films to be satanic.
Here's kind of an interesting side note on that line right there. My uncle, one of my uncles, he somehow, I don't know, fell off the right wing bus and stayed in fucking cuckoo fanatic land. When we were growing up, his children weren't allowed to watch He-Man because he believed He-Man was a very satanic film. His argument, in fact, was the fact that when He-Man raises his sword, he states, "By the power of Grayskull, I have the power." And to him, well, you know, the fact that this guy was saying he had the power, that meant he was a Satanist. So he got at least right in that way. But it really interesting that my cousins weren't allowed to watch that. And so on the weekends, if they'd stay at my house, we couldn't watch my favorite cartoon.
Well, I've heard some Christian fundamentalists actually stretch that argument. They start with the whole He-Man says he has the power, I have the power, or whatever, and that goes against God. That goes against Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that had the power. But then they point out that Skeletor is blue, meaning that he's bloodless. So he's the living dead, and that opposes nature, and that's anti-God, and that's how you know that Skeletor's evil, okay? And then they extended further, and they were saying that, so by that thinking, by that logic, the Smurfs, being blue, were bloodless, undead little creatures, and satanic. And this is a fire and brimstone preacher, you know, who was saying it in all seriousness, did not mean it as a joke whatsoever. So the Satanist influences, you know, in the Smurfs. Oh, yeah.
Like I could probably find a satanic theme in a Disney film. I was sitting here racking my brain trying to think of a satanic theme in a Disney film. What about Sleeping Beauty? What's the main witchy character there? Maleficent. Maleficent. She's basically pissed off because she wasn't invited to the christening of the baby or the birth of the baby. So she curses the baby to, you know, she has to prick her finger when she's 16, and she's complete with garb and the horns, and, you know, she's using magic to enact her will, and, you know.
Here's where you extend that imagery, okay? She's the fallen fairy. She was the one who was uninvited. She was cast out.
Right,
so she cursed in Sleeping Beauty, representing all womanhood, that when, first of all, she's going to sleep, she's going to have death, she's going to have to experience that. And it's not till the prince returns and kisses her that she'll have renewed life. And when she falls asleep, when she totally falls into darkness, is that and when she's 16 and she has her first bleeding, she has her first bloodletting. So there's all kinds of fucking symbolism going on there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
What about Donald Duck's magical pentagrams?
Right. Well, what about Donald Duck and his lack of pants?
Right. There you go. There you go. And I'm guessing the sailor suit is maybe some kind of endorsement of deviant sexual behavior.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not to say this, you know, the Navy, there's any homoerotic things going on in the Navy, but yeah, sailors get a little freaky.
Yeah, I was just kind of putting two and three together. You know, he's missing pants. He's wearing a sailor suit. He's always hanging out with a couple of mice. You know.
Right.
What happens in the bowels of the ship stays in the bowels of the ship. I'm in a military town, so I know all of that jazz. Freaky things go on in the bowels of the ship.
Right on.
I guess getting back to Satanist or satanic films, one of my favorite is still Trick or Treat from the 80s. Not the new one. It wasn't a remake, just another movie with the same title. This one had Gene Simmons, the radio DJ. What's that?
Oh, I said Ozzy Osbourne, and then you said Gene Simmons.
Ozzy Osbourne as a Baptist preacher on the TV.
Right. Yeah, that was great. That was good stuff. That was actually the record played backwards, right? That's how he got possessed by that power.
Right. That what was the guy's name? The rock singer. The band was actually there was an actual band, heavy metal band that produced the whole soundtrack of that film. Fastway.
Yeah.
Was the name of the band. Let me see here. Trick or Treat. I'm looking at my DVD collection.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I got a lot of shit last night. People came over like, look at the all the books and all the fucking movies and everything else. They were really tripping out on all the shit that was in here. Sammy Kerr was the heavy metal dude that was worshiping the devil.
Right on.
Oh, I thought of another one that's blast from the past from the 80s. It's called The Gate. It has a young Stephen Dorff in it. When he was a little kid, he was a little teeny kid still doing commercials and stuff. And he had a nerdy friend, and he had an album, and they played it backwards, and they opened the gates to hell, and all the little minions jumped out, all the demon minions.
Right on.
Yeah,
it had to be a sacrifice.
was one of my favorite movies as a kid. I think I watched that every weekend on USA all night for like years.
I love that movie. I had to buy it. It's part of my DVD collection.
And speaking of backmasking, going into a different genre, Little Nicky. There's Satanist film right there. Little Nicky, he gets out, what was it, a Boston album? You know, there was nothing going on when they played the Blizzard of Oz backwards, but they put on Boston or whatever, and he played it backwards and had that, you know, worship Satan and all the other shit going on.
That's funny. Yeah, I remember that. That is a good example of a quote-unquote satanic film.
Another one is the Gate with Johnny Depp. I actually painted some of the engravings. I did 3 of the 9 engravings. I loved that film where they were trying to solve Lucifer's riddle to gain entry into hell.
Ninth Gate, right?
Yeah.
It was
actually, I read the book first. It's based on the book called The Club Dumas.
I haven't read that book. Is it better than the movie? I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it's way better than the movie. Especially if you've read
and
The Musketeers.
And you had to get a translation from French to English, right?
No, actually, they published it in English. Mine's in English.
Oh, that's what I mean, though. It had to be translated. It wasn't.
There might be some
variation between the French and the English.
Yeah.
But yeah, still.
I don't know. I don't know if anything was lost in translation, you know, because you know that often happens. But the book was still fairly decent after the translation.
Right on.
Well, how about the obvious, Hellboy?
Hellboy's a good movie.
Yeah. Did you like the first?
Hellboy speaks to us in a bunch of different levels.
Like
I kind of compared Hellboy to Legend in that he was kind of like the tragic hero, you know, where he would melt, in the presence of his love, you know, he was pretty, that was his weakness, that was his kryptonite, the woman he was in love with.
Yeah, hoping they get the third one made here pretty quick because the dude, what's his name? Why can't I think of his name right now? I mean, go to the DVD set here. Keep talking.
Guy
who
looks
this out.
Guy who
Ron
looks
Perlman.
Like Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman. He's in his 60s, man. He's getting up there. So I don't know how much action film he has left in him. So and then in this third one, Hellboy's supposed to die.
Really, I don't remember that being in the comic itself.
Well, that was part of the deal. The writer of the comic, the creator of Hellboy, he said that every media that Hellboy appears in, whether it's video games, cartoons, the comic books, or movies, all the stories have to be different. That you can't make a movie of the comic book. They can be related, but there has to be some differences. So yeah, in the third movie, they've been talking about this online. That's part of the reason they're struggling to get it all out there and everything else is because Hellboy dies in the third movie.
Wonder how that's going to sell.
Right, and that's what they're working with. That's what they're, you know, okay. And, you know, they've been talking about enough on the internet. Well, okay, they could be leading everybody astray, too. They could be like, Hellboy dies in the third movie. And then in the fact, you know, that he actually doesn't, or he, you know, the last 5 minutes, he's back to life and human, maybe, or some shit.
Right on.
Who knows?
Let me see. I mean, I can think of 1,000 of them. You mentioned Bedazzle in the description. I think that's kind of funny. It cracks me up. And that movie is actually considered satanic. It's killing me.
I think Lexi threw that in there. So congratulate Lexi on that. So that was her doing.
Rock on. Let me see.
But yeah. You know what's funny? You know what's funny about that is that down the road, if there actually is a library of Satanist material and, you know, a collection of movies referencing the devil or whatever, well, Bedazzled will have to be there. It'll have to be a prominent feature in that collection.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. And also, The Devil Wears Prada or whatever the hell the name of that movie was, that'll have to be there too. Yeah.
That was more so about the corporate devil.
Right.
Still
have you guys seen this new M. Night Shyamalan movie, Devil?
Yeah, I liked it.
You liked it? I haven't seen it yet.
All his movies are pretty good, though.
Yeah,
what did you like about it, TC?
All the rest of the storyline is very well thought out. There's enough twists to make it interesting, and I thought the overall production of the movie itself was incredible. So I thought it was an all around good film, and I'm usually pretty critical of anything that's got that word in there. So
M. Night Shyamalan never disappoints. I always find all his movies to be excellent.
Right, and one that people actually shot down and never understood is Wicker Man, because I thought Wicker Man was just an incredible film.
The original or the remake?
The remake. I mean, the original was incredible, too, but I like the remake, the M. Night Shyamalan, or whatever the hell his name is, version.
Right.
Pretty good. I mean, it's not every day.
What about The Devil's Rejects? A serial killing family as a representative of a devil.
What was interesting to me about that film, and I really liked Rob Zombie's work in both of those movies, House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Reject, but what was interesting to me was there was this constant reference about devil worship, but you never really saw any kind of overt symbolism in the movie. So,
I guess they would attribute anything that horrid would be attributed to evil and would have to be related to, some kind of satanic tie-in, a whole family just, indulging in killing.
Well,
that's really
exactly. That's the point I was going to make. It speaks about indulgence is I think, where you have that tie-in, is that these people indulge in whatever behavior strikes them as, the thing to do. And but there's also the interconnectivity that they watch out for one another. That since they all share the same mentality, that freedom means being able to do whatever you want to do at any given time, then they protect each other. They watch out for one another. They have their arguments and everything else, but nobody else is going to understand them like one another. So
yeah,
I know I'm reading way too much
into it. There
doesn't
seem to be any element of fear of them killing each other, which often happens in families.
Right. Another thing, what was the, I'm trying to remember what the, what would have been the oldest son's name, not Captain Spaulding, but Otis, was it?
Otis? No, Otis was the black brother, right?
Otis.
Tiny was the giant guy, and then there was Otis, and then in the first movie there was another son that got killed.
Right.
Devil's Rejects, Firefly. But no, you're right. It's Otis. Otis and his sister Baby managed to escape unharmed.
Right.
So you're right. Otis was the guy's name.
Otis Firefly gives he gives kind of like a little soliloquy as he's getting ready to kill one of his victims in the second movie. And what he says is, "I am the devil," something along the lines, and then it goes into this whole spiel about how he doesn't give a shit because he's the devil and whatever.
And so he's here to do the devil's work. I think that's the quote. I'm the devil, and I'm here to do the devil's work.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what
it
is.
He tells the guy, pray to your God. Pray to your God to strike me down now.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I thought that was one of the only things that I thought really tied into a heavy satanic theme. Although I do like the fact that they all had these little kind of catchy, quirky names, Captain Spaulding or Otis Firefly, and
which came from, they revealed in the second film that it came from the Marx Brothers.
Groucho Marx.
Marx wrote the communist. He wrote Capitalism was the title of the book, but it was not communist.
Right. I thought that was a really kind of neat aspect about it that they had included into there that, it made it one of the more unique films. So I'm all for it. I think Rob Zombie's done nothing but good films. I don't care what anybody else says.
I didn't actually like The House of a Thousand Corpses until I saw The Devil's Rejects, and I saw The Devil's Rejects, I loved it, and then I went back and watched House of a Thousand Corpses, and I appreciated it more.
Right. Understandably. You know, the House of a Thousand Corpses seemed like a very trippy version of The Hills Have Eyes or something like that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, for all
really
the hype that it got.
Well, I thought it was really reflective of his style, the things he did with White Zombie and everything else. I mean, it was always this kind of a ghost house carnival ride taken to the extreme. His videos, his music, his artwork was all about that. So the campy 60s kind of horror film that he put together, the B-schlock horror film that he put together for House of a Thousand Corpses, totally expected that. And as a fan of all that, I really dug it. And then Devil's Rejects, you know, he gets brutal. Halloween, I mean, that was brutal. It was 2 hours brutality, that film, which was just awesome. Halloween 2, he just got a little weird with the, you know, the visions and shit like that. So I liked Halloween 2 less, but still enjoyed
it. Right on. Well, with all that being said, I think we only got a couple minutes left in this bad boy. I'm curious, Jason, if you think I should cut out the first 45 minutes and re-upload this thing, or if I should just leave it as it is.
I think you should just leave it as it is. I mean, why cut it out, man?
Yeah, man. Well, keep it raw. Keep it raw. You hear me and Jason yelling at each other. That's good shit right there.
Right. Well, okay, that's it. My only reason I was thinking that is because I was thinking people are expecting to hear about movies, and, well, they're going to be lambasted for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I'll take the description.
And when people listen to The Ooze, they expect to hear The Ooze, and that's the kind of shit that happens here. So, yeah. You know, we have a schedule. We have a topic that we might talk about during the show, but, you know, if we get to it, we get to it.
That's what I've always liked about the way you guys do the show. I mean, you kind of present a topic, and then, you know, the show might take another direction when you introduce, you know, like a third party in there. I know sometimes you start off with two hosts, and then you introduce a third sometimes, and then the show might take a whole new direction. But it's all interesting stuff.
Right on.
Speaking of which, next week we're talking about science fiction to science reality. I've been watching the news. I'm kind of a tech geek. At least in keeping up with what's coming out there, not necessarily maybe getting involved in how it's put together and everything else. There are some interesting devices out there that do some crazy shit straight out of the movies.
I thought
we spent an hour talking about, just the new technologies that are out there. They'll kind of blow your mind what they got going on out there. That'll be coming to a police force near you. So kind of cool shit.
I did an article a couple of years ago on BMI technology, the brain machine interface. That stuff will trip you out if you knew what the stuff
right
could do. Crazy. And it does. It sounds like science fiction, but it's real stuff.
Right on.
Right on.
So 2 minutes left. I guess we should plug creativebodystudios.com and plug SatanicInternationalNetwork.com while we're on there, right?
Yeah, and Corazon, give us your plug. Poison Apple, right?
Yep, that's me, Poison Apple, you know. And I started my own little blog talk ranting show, but it's more of a like an opinion of the week, so I have one up on here, too. And it's called The Poison Apple.
Right on.
Awesome.
Check all that out.
I'm going to roll the outro, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
All right, cool. Later, guys.
Later.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?